Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How is life today, Cody?
Doing well. Doing great.
Wow, just going great. Really, yeah, you're really, really letting us down on the words, on the vocabulary.
Know, but that's okay. That's fine.
I'm glad. Now, we don't have Tracy with us today. We have Karen in her place. Karen Amador, how are you doing today, Karen?
I'm doing awesome.
Awesome. I think you are. Matt's a thumbs up, thumbs down in the middle. What are you doing, Matt, today? Thumbs up. Okay, good. Cody, what is the subject of our talk today?
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing I did last week, which is we have a lot of cool announcements recently here at the Table Group. So before I tell you that, I'm going to tell you, our listeners, about this really cool event that we have coming up. So it's this year marks the 20-year anniversary of your book, The Five Dysfunctions. So that book has been a staple out there helping people build cohesive, more effective teams. And we are going to do our first sort of public open event for people to register to come have a conversation about 20 years of teamwork dysfunction, share some insights, even dive into sort of this new era of teamwork and how do we help promote those same, you know, overcome those same five dysfunctions in this new world. So we just wanted to, we thought this would be interesting to this audience. You can go right now to tablegroup.com/5, the number 5D, as in dysfunction. So tablegroup.com/5D, and you can register right now. And we encourage people to bring your teams. It's going to be 90 minutes. Pat's going to go through the model and some insights. And then we have a special guest, John Gordon, joining us as well. So put that on your calendars and go register today.
I think it costs money to do it there. Is that right, Cody?
It's going to be a $50 event, but anybody who signs up before June 6 gets it for $24.99, less than the price of the book itself.
Hey, that's cool. That's cool. All righty. Thanks, Cody. So what's our topic today for the podcast?
Okay. Our topic today is leader monkey.
Leader monkey. What does that mean? Here's what it means. And I should say, I came up with this title in reference to myself first, and I've been using it for years. So today before the podcast, I went on and I said, I better explain this monkey thing. So I went on and I looked up, it comes from the whole idea of being an organ grinder or a monkey grinder. And I found out that because I'm Italian, this is particularly relevant. These Italian entertainers would go on the streets in the United States and in Europe, and they would play an organ, and then a monkey would dance around, and it would go get money from people. And so the idea was the guy would grind this organ-like instrument, and the monkey would perform. And so I called myself a monkey sometimes, because sometimes I'm a leader of our organization, but other times I'm a monkey. I'm doing the work for other people. And what we found is that most leaders are sometimes leaders and sometimes monkeys. They're actually performing, doing a job, and sometimes they're leading people who are doing those jobs. And they often get confused. And this is especially true in small and medium-sized companies where there's probably no leaders who are also not being a monkey of some kind. But maybe if you're running a massive, massive company, you're a full-time leader. You're probably not, if you're leading Exxon, you're probably not out there drilling wells and doing things like that. But most leaders have a role to play in terms of doing one of these specific professions within the organization. And we have to be clear on what those are. So we want to talk about the challenge of being a leader monkey today and what that looks like.
Yeah. It's fun. I actually remember when I joined the Table Group and you would use this, you know, like you would actually, well, the reason we have Karen on here is because you would say, specifically as it related to speaking, I'm your monkey today. You know, like I'm going to do what it is that you tell me to do. And I love that you had this distinction about what hat you were wearing, because the tendency would be if you are always wearing your leader hat and you go into a, you know, a job or a someone's asking you to do something for them, you might bring your leader hat into that conversation and think, oh, what they really want me to do is lead and mess up what they're doing and give them direction. When in fact, in many cases, they just want you to dance like those monkeys on the street.
Exactly. And so I'm the leader of the organization and Karen works for me running the speaking business. And then when she would take a speaking client, she would organize everything and meet with them and tell me what we're doing and have it all done. And then she and I would go out and actually I'd deliver the speech. And it was very clear that she was my boss during those times.
Right.
I was working for you.
Yeah. You were in a service role, actually.
Right.
There was some context to what you were doing.
Yeah. What could have happened, Karen, had I not been aware of that? If I would have gone there thinking, no, I'm the leader of the organization and I'm going with Karen to this event, what could have happened that would not have been good?
I think you would have lost sight of what we were actually there to do, which was more in service of actually the client. You might have actually fallen prey to doing what you felt like doing in that moment, as opposed to serving them and me and doing the job that we were there for.
Yeah. I think about like being if I'm the principal of a school and mm-hmm. I have one of my teachers that's out for the day and we can't find a substitute and I jump in and be the substitute teacher. And I know this happens. When I'm being the substitute teacher, I can't go in there thinking I'm the principal and I'm going to make a bunch of changes to the way the teacher teaches in the classroom. I'm there to fill in for them and to serve them. And mm-hmm. if I don't realize that at the time, can you imagine, Karen, if I had shown up to those speeches and I'd have said right before I went on stage, like, you know, Karen, I don't feel like talking about this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to talk about something else because I think it's more important for our business. And you were like, right. No, this is my client, Pat. And as a result of that, you need to do what I'm asking you to do. And at the end of your speech, I'll tell you if you did a good job. And frankly, I liked that because I felt responsible to you.
Yes.
And I knew that I was just there to fill that role. Mm-hmm. And that gave me clarity. And yet I find a lot of the CEOs I work with, especially in small and medium-sized companies, when they take off their CEO hat, they're often not aware of that. And they go in and they do some job within the company, some specific role if they're good at marketing or sales or engineering or something. And they forget that in the context of that role, they have a completely different set of responsibilities to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting is, had you not made that distinction, like I helped in a season of my career, I helped Karen with some of these speaking clients, and to see how much care and concern and effort and the way she sort of stewarded the client from the moment they said, yes, let's do this, to the moment you stepped on stage. If you don't go there and be the monkey and you sort of wreck shop, that just does such a disservice to all the, and doesn't honor all the work that Karen put in up to that point.
Right. I can really undercut her and, mm-hmm. and demoralize her because I'm just not aware of the fact that I'm in a different role at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it challenging, Karen, for you to shift into the role of being, I know we're all friends and we all just work together, but I manage you sometimes, but in those moments when mm-hmm. you were managing me, well, tell us about that transition.
Well, I mean, so I had to keep the client in mind, right? So they're, I was always there in their best interest.
Yep.
And so I think helping to coach you in that also, so that you were then put in a great position to get up on stage and actually do what you needed to do and say what they needed to hear was actually pretty easy for me.
Right. Sometimes you had to actually, though, kind of rein me in, I think, if I remember
correctly.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. I mean, there were times when we got on a plane where, you know, after a long trip, it would have been easy to have mailed it in. And, you know, that's when I knew my job in that moment was to remind you why we were there and kind of paint the bigger picture, which allowed you then to slide into that role.
Yeah. You were managing me. Let me be very clear. You were managing me and I needed to be managed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, there are people out there, like a good friend of mine who listens to the podcast, his name is Will. He's in charge of transportation for a county with lots of like road work and transportation issues to do. He is not like, hey, I got to go fill in a pothole or fix a bridge or drive a bus. So he is largely, mostly focused on being a leader. But then there's other people who spend 50% of their time being a monkey. Even mm-hmm. though they're a leader of an organization, if you're the founder of a technology startup, you might have been the person who came up with the idea, and half of your day is spent writing code or designing a product. Mm-hmm. Those are really challenging times for people because they have to be aware of why they're doing what they're doing and what's most important. And here's the thing. Sometimes people who are leading an organization actually like being a monkey more than a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So they gravitate mm-hmm. toward that role. And that can be hard because you have to remind them that they need to go do their job as a leader. Some other times, leaders really don't want to do the monkey role anymore, but they need to because they need that skill to be represented. And so they can sometimes get resentful of that. Mm-hmm. And they need to understand that that's actually a service to the organization. And this is one of the most important things a leader has to understand. Am I being a monkey right now, or am I being a leader?
Yeah, the motive is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Karen, like, in the sense mm-hmm. that like those two people you described, Pat, that one of them is more prone to not sort of an unwillingness to ever be the monkey, or in one that's like actually drawn to continue to just do the work. And I think that there's probably not a like a number you could put on it, because I think it changes from organization to organization, but
absolutely.
But every leader should be doing some monkey work, but there's probably like a tipping point of like, oh boy, if you're doing more, if you're taking your eye off the helm of the organization or the leadership as because you're doing so much monkey work, there's like a tipping point of, boy, maybe you should reconsider. You know, you need to start thinking about, as you are doing more monkey work at the expense of the leadership, there's probably things that you could audit and pull out of that so that you make sure that you're doing all of the duties that you are required to do as a leader.
Cody, you had a great, before we started the podcast, you were talking about your friends who own the coffee shop, and they've grown and there's a very successful venture, but I love the analogy you used. Can you do that? Take us through that?
Yeah, I just thought we were trying to think of ways that this plays out, and this couple that now has two locations at this coffee shop, I thought they're both the, I've seen them do this actually. They're both the founder leader of these, you know, what are those? Why can't I think of the word? Anyway, these coffee shops, I'll just say that. but I've seen them actually be either front of house or back of house, either in the kitchen. You know, if one of their employees doesn't show up and they're making waffles back there, I've seen them pouring batter and doing everything in the kitchen, or I've seen them front of house being the person that's taking orders. And in that case, I thought, you know, the right way to wear your hat there is the person who's in charge of the shift manager is probably saying, I need the spot filled. And they probably just slide in and do the role, put on their monkey hat and play that role. They don't need to go in and say, now is my opportunity to be a leader and make change and lead something new around how we take orders or how we, you know, cook in the kitchen. They're just going to slide in and do what is necessary and know that they're sort of subjugating themselves to the person that's in charge of that.
Yes. I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. What do you think is more common? That do you think people, like leaders, gravitate toward doing monkey work? Or do you think they gravitate toward being a leader and not fulfilling their monkey role?
Karen, what do you think? I've got an answer, but I want you to go first.
I was actually thinking monkey work. That was my initial answer, just because I think sometimes they view monkey work as being fun work. You know, like that's what I gravitate towards, and that's what I'm skilled at, or that's where, you know, I'm educated, whatever that. So I'll stick with that answer. How about that?
All right. Cody, what do you think?
I was also going to say that I thought it would be the monkey work, but for maybe a different reason, in the sense that you do see a lot of leaders, whether they're the founders or they were the market, you know, the chief marketing officer or something before they get promoted to CEO, that they sort of like meddling. They're like, oh, this is what I was trained in, or this is what I used to do. And I actually would love, you know, he or she will dive into a marketing project versus saying like, oh, I'm going to stay out of that and let those people do it and really cast the vision at the highest level. And I think on the founder side of it, I think of my friends with the coffee shop as sort of like, at some point you were both, you had to be both. There were only a couple of them before they had two locations. They were at a street fair. Yeah, street fair. There we go. These words are hard today.
Coffee shop, street fair.
but they were doing everything from taking out the trash to set up and tear down. And then you get to a place where, oh, it actually is required of you to be the leader, but you kind of can feel pretty comfortable knowing that you could do any of those jobs. So I think they tend to gravitate more towards monkey work.
Yeah, I think so too. I think monkey work is more urgent. It's more tangible. It's usually what we had to do before we became leaders. And if you skip over doing leadership, it's hard to notice in a given day or month. But if you skip over the monkey work, everybody notices. And so I think that the problem is more that leaders will abdicate leadership in order to dive in and do monkey work. Mm-hmm. And that they have a hard time letting go of that work to focus on leadership, which is less tangible, and the impact of being a leader is not so noticeable in the short term. I think about, I work with a lot of pastors and priests, and I think most of them come up, you know, being a preacher or a counselor, and then they actually have to manage staff. And I think mm-hmm. many of them are like, oh, can't I just go preach or counsel somebody? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. But really what you need to do is build up a team of people that can also do that. And that's your role as a leader. It's hard to let go of monkey work. It's often more fun, more tangible, and more comfortable.
Company size probably matters too in that, you know?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The smaller the company, the more monkey work there is to do.
So the other thing I'm thinking, as we're talking about this, Pat, I do think there is a warning in here for people who are listening to this, which is there is that natural draw to the work. And there's such a need for organizations to have leaders with the right hat on. And it's so easy to get caught up in becoming, I think it's about the awareness, right? We talked about like, you need to know when you take that hat off and when you don't. And even I'll use myself as an example. I think over the last couple of weeks, I have sort of inadvertently not been aware of when I was doing more monkey work versus leader work. And I was in these meetings and feeling like I was helping serve parts of our team. And it was just this morning that I went and said, you know what? I think I'm not doing this the right way. And I wrote up all of our units, every thematic goal from all the teams we have, and just looked at it from the top level. Like, I don't need to actually come in and help. I actually need to look at the whole picture and know where our resources are and where the defining objectives are read. And that was it was a totally different experience, but it was a clue to me that I had not been aware about when I had put the monkey hat on.
You know what I think is interesting? I just thought of this. We don't even think about this today, but the NBA playoffs are going on right now, and we would never even think this possible, but Bill Russell played for the Boston Celtics years ago, and he was a player coach. Mm-hmm. He was literally the head coach of the team and a player. And the question was, what do you think he was more likely to skip over, the coaching or the playing? Well, if you're on the floor, it's really tough to not be thinking about, I need a rebound, I need to outlet, I need to play defense, I need to be, think who's on the bench and who should I be subbing for? There's probably a reason why we don't have player coaches, because they will almost always abdicate the coaching for the playing. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that's what's really hard about people in organizations today. I think most of us want to play the game, and rather than sitting off on the sidelines and looking at what's going on and giving people advice. So, and yet we're doing it every day. In the world of business, there are so many player coaches, and we're probably losing sight of the importance and the leverage of coaching versus playing. It'd be better to miss a rebound or let a guy score, but make a good decision as a coach. But who in the world can do that when they're in both roles at the same time?
I felt like that was a great way to wrap it up, Pat. I love the player coach analogy, because you're absolutely right. I mean, there is a totally different viewpoint when you're sitting on the bench watching and analyzing how things are unfolding and how your team's performing, versus if you're on the floor and things are going a million miles an hour and you can't actually assess and realize, oh, we need to make adjustments or tweak, or our personnel's not right. I think that is probably a perfect example of how you should think about this. You need to spend time on the bench with your clipboard, organizing and assessing what's going on, and not always on the floor trying to get a rebound.
That's right. Well, I realized that in midstream during this podcast. I hadn't thought about the player coach thing. Otherwise, we might have called it player coach. But leader monkey is probably more interesting. And so anyway, well, that's enough. I think that this is an interesting thing. It's going to make me think about my role differently. I hope it does that for our listeners as well. Thank you, Karen, for being on with us today.
Sure.
Thanks, Cody and Matt, and everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.